Suzanne began to preach my message again today. If I didn't know better, I'd have thought we discussed it for an hour. And I know pastors that do that with, you know, all their leaders. They try to get all their ducks in a row. It's just like, I just let Holy Spirit get them in a row. Why would I want to trust you to get them in a row? You might get number 7 and number 3 spot. That wouldn't be right. God knows best. Knows best for your life. Knows best for my life. Don't look back at 2018. I mean, unless it was the best year yet. See, I always say yet because I'm expecting next year to be a better year. How is it going to get that way? Okay. God. But I can't just leave it up to God. We have to do the footwork. Thank you. We have to do something. Believing is not all of it. You got to start. Thank you. You got to receive it. Receive means to take sometimes. I mean, it means to take. You want to receive healing? You got to take it. There's somebody contending for your life. His name is Satan. Make sure you know that God closed the door and it wasn't the devil. Too many times when sincere Christians say, well, that's not working out, they just assume it's God. Don't assume it's God until you've heard from God. If you know in your heart it's supposed to be this way, then don't settle for anything but this way. That's the devil holding back, holding you from receiving what God's got for you, if you know that it's God. Now, that's why you need to know the voice of the Spirit of God. If you don't, you just won't know if it's for you or if it's not for you. It'll be que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. Friend, you'll go to the grave early thinking that way. You'll still go to heaven, but bless God, you're going to have a talking to. First thing anybody up there is going to say is, what are you doing here so soon? You didn't fulfill out the days of your life. Got real quiet. Because God is not controlling you. He put inside of you himself to entrust you to be you. God's not trying to be you. He didn't ask one other person to do what he asked Jesus to do. He's never going to ask you to do that. I was listening to what I thought was a really good minister of the gospel, and this person was teaching on healing, and I was just devouring it until they said this one thing. And I threw everything out. Everything. I couldn't believe a thing they said after that. Because you know what they said? They said, my mother got sick with cancer and God told me that he did it so that I would preach. Do you know how many countless thousands of people are still following this individual? Many of you probably know them. I thought, shut that off before it pollutes my CD player. You can be right on a lot of things. There's a lot of people that are right on a lot of things, and then they say, well, there's many ways to get to heaven. If you don't know Jesus as the way, you'll go to hell. There's only one way. You see those bumper stickers? I hope none of you have them on there. You know, just coexist. What that means is everybody agrees with what everybody says. There's a church right over down here that they just embrace anything. They'll embrace Jesus, but they'll embrace Satan. In the same building, with the same people. You get up and you tell us how much Satan's done for you. And then you get up and say how much Buddha's done for you. Yeah, there's This church is formulated. They're called universalists. We'll just believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to believe you're a monkey, they'll just embrace that. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like what they said. Hope we're having bananas today. No, come on. Come on. Jesus didn't lay his life down for people to be confused. They're confused because their eyes have been blinded. The Bible says so. The devil has blinded their eyes, so they don't know any better. But that's where you come in. You mean me, preacher? Yeah, you. I'm not the only one supposed to be preaching. Come on, you're my preachers. You're my preachers. I'll say it once more. Just because I can. You're my preachers. You know, when Suzanne opened the altar, I felt the burden of all your hurts come on me. You got to lay stuff down at the altar. You got to get rid of it. Give it to Him. You're not designed to carry. He says, cast all your cares, not some of them. Cast all of them. If you don't, you won't be free. You'll go to heaven, but you won't feel free most of the days of your life. You'll feel like a wreck. Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy life. There's no greater joy than seeing somebody get delivered from bondage, that gets out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, that gets healed of a sickness and brought into health, that gets healed of depression and oppression and get free of all the things that have come on them by the enemy. You can have an enjoy life. You can enjoy your job. If you're here today and you don't enjoy your job, you've got the wrong job. I can't make you get another job, but I can tell you the truth. If Jesus said you're to enjoy life and you hate going to work, you've got to seek the Lord and get a different job. And I'll have one more. You're in here with a big smile on your face. Because I want the best for you. I want next year to be so much better than last year. I want you to see more of the Word, the truth of the Word this year than you've ever seen before. I want revelation knowledge to flow through you like it's never flown through you. I want you to start downloading from the Spirit of God the way Billy Graham did. In a moment of time, and he'd know what to say. And thousands of people give their life to the Lord. That can be you. God is for you, not against you. He's with you. He's empowered you. He's put the power inside of you. But if you never turn on the switch, we've got power tools over at the Labor of Love Project. But if we never plug them in, we won't get that skill saw to cut through the wood. Oh, I've got the saw. I've got the power. It's in the wall. I paid the bill. I didn't plug it in. You've got to plug yourself in to the Holy Spirit. That was worth coming for. I can't do it for you, but He can. I can't do it for you, but He can. I can point you to the way. I can point you to the Word of God, the truth that'll set you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many want to be free? There's so much that the world has coming against us that is keeping us bogged down. And you can't be preachers because you're too busy trying to survive. You're in survival mode. God didn't create you to be in survival mode. He created you to be powerhouses for him. When he sent those disciples and then the 70 into the streets, he says, I'm sending you out into the wolves. I'm sending you as sheep. Well, that was real comforting. I'm a sheep. You're sending me out to the place where wolves eat sheep. But he said, I'll be with you. See, when you hear from God, he's with you. You don't got to listen to anything else. You just know you heard his voice. And if you haven't heard it, spend time with him until you hear it. It won't take long. People are too stinking busy and busy about being busy and wasting time. Somebody handed me a book this morning titled Living from Eternity. I can't wait to read it. It's written by John Bevere. He's a man of God that gets revelation from God. A lot of it. Living from eternity. In other words, what are you doing today that's going to affect you in eternity? You are coming before Jesus Christ in one of two judgments. If you're born again, it's the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to be accountable for everything you did, good and bad. He's not accounting your sin. That's been taken care of. But rewards will be given at the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. And you'll be rewarded for the things you did good. Everything else is going to burn up. And he says rewards will be taken away. There's an accounting going on. If you don't know Jesus, you're coming before the great white throne of judgment, and you'll be accountable for every sin you ever committed or omitted. One by one, you're going to pay account for them. Jesus paid for mine. And if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, then he's paid for yours. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Paul was messed up before he got an encounter with God too. But he got right. He answered, Lord. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Ask him, take your life. Do something with it. He's wanting you to. He's waiting on you to make the move. Jesus isn't coming back to go to the cross again. Jesus went to the cross once. And for all. For all mankind, all woman, everybody. Everybody. The worst of the worst, the goodiest of the best. God is so good. Wrapping up this year. If the ushers could help me. I want to hand everybody a 3x5. I didn't measure them, but they're cards. And here, before we start handing them out, here's what I want you to do right now. So we're going to need some pens and pencils. I want you to write down the top three things that concern your life right today. And you just write them down. And then we're going to collect them. You don't have to put your name on them. If you want to, that's fine. But I want to know what's going on inside of you. And I don't have to know the people. But I want to pray over them. And I want God to reveal to me words that will help you. You see, I've given my life for this. I'm serious about this. And so I'm going to take the time to go over what's written down on these cards and seek the Lord. And I believe that he's paid for the victory for every single one of you. Every one of you. See, when you go through a trial or come to a situation, you've got to see yourself already winning. That's how God sees you. If Jesus paid the price for you to win, you're a winner. It's not after you go through the ordeal that you win. You are in the winner's circle. It would be like at the Olympics that they have the final ceremony first. And they give you the gold cup, gold medal, first. And you say, well, wait a minute, I haven't even competed yet. In God's eyes, you win. In God's eyes, every one of you has the gold medal around your neck. You've got that gold medal. You've already got it. Not trying to get it. Top three things that concern you, that you're wanting an answer from God. Like you need an answer. Like life sucks if you don't get an answer. I mean, how much can I expound on this? Between you and God, unless you want to reveal your name, and that's fine if you do, but I don't need to know. Holy Spirit knows. He already knew every one of you and what you were going to put down. God loves you so much. But as Suzanne said, and as I expounded a little, the ball is in your court, so to speak. It's up to you to make the next move. It's not up to God. It's up to you. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. He's given you, already given you everything. Say everything. So he's already given you your answer. Because he said he's given you everything that pertains to life. I'm asking you, what pertains to your life today? God's already given you the answer. Isn't that good news? That's the truth. Holy Spirit wants you to find it. God the Father wants you to find the answer. But you're going to have to be diligent. How many were here Wednesday night? I don't expect to see too many hands because there's only about 10 of us. But I spoke on the diligence of your heart. How diligent are you in your heart for the things of God? How diligent are you toward attaining what God wants for you? God has a purpose for your life. Are you being diligent to find out what that purpose is? All you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is ask him. I asked him when I was about 30 years old, and he said, I've called you to teach. It's not what I wanted to hear. At the time, you know, maybe a sports announcer would have been a fun job. But he called me to teach, and they were already asking me to teach Sunday school. Like, I didn't want to do that. It didn't seem like me. But it didn't matter what it seemed like to me. You see, that was what my mind was saying. But inside my heart, I knew it was right. I knew it was right. I just didn't know what to do. But you see, God had already put in my life somebody that asked me, will you teach? I said, no. God says, I'm going to get him. Because I know he'll do it. I told them no. I said yes to God. That's the difference. When they asked me again, I said, absolutely. They said, you pray about it. Don't have to. When you've heard from God, you don't have to pray. Stop praying. Why do you want to keep talking about asking him about it? You've already got the answer. Some of you are sitting here. I know you already said it. Well, I'm too old to do anything. It's a lie from the devil. You know how much wisdom you've got in you? You've lived 92 years almost. You got a lot of wisdom in you. Somebody needs that wisdom. Every one of us has lived a while. You've got something in you that somebody else needs. You're somebody else's answer because God put it inside of you. That's how it works. You are the answer to somebody else's problem. If we could just let God be God and get out of his way of trying to be doing his job. Okay. Holy Spirit started all this, so he's going to have to help me finish it. I know he will. That's why I'm not concerned about it one bit. In Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to take a look at verse 20. And I know a lot of you have committed that to memory. But here's my question. And if you're still filling out your thing, I mean, it shouldn't take very long to take the top three things that concern you. It should be 1, 2, 3. Write them down. Do it. If you have to think about it, then, then that's not the top three things. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So we're talking about two different individuals here. We're talking about God, but we're talking about you. Have you asked him anything? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. What do you think on? What consumes your thought life? Then it says, according to the power that works inside of us. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, and he's given you the power. So he's able to pull it off, but he put the power inside of you. You have to use the power. He gave you the power. He gave me the skill saw with the cord. I have to plug it in. I can't sit there all day and pray, God, I really wish these 2x4s would get cut. God, you gave me the saw. It's brand new. It's nice and shiny. You'd call somebody a dummy if they sat there all day long and just looked at the saw and say, well, I haven't got anything done because God didn't cut them for me. Like God's supposed to do everything for you. He's already done everything necessary for you to have and enjoy life. According to the power that works in us. Amplified says it this way. Now to him who, by in consequence of, in other words, because God is God, the action of his power that is at work within us. So it's his power inside you. He's able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare. How many of y'all remember like a double dog dare? You know, I dare you, but I double dog dare you. You ain't going to do that. You know, as kids, we did stupid things and double dog dare. Jump off the roof here and, you know, first one jumps off, busts his leg, you know. All that we dare ask or think infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. He's saying, what do you want? What's the desire? You see, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That can mean two things. That can mean he'll give you the desires of your heart, or he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll put those desires in there. How many know when he puts the desires in there, they're the right desires? That way you can ask infinitely above all that you could ask or think. He will give that to you. He wants our hearts. So he's able to do it. But are we allowing him, are we allowing his power by our activation of his power to do it? Paul says at several different places in his writings that we are partakers. That means you have a part to take. It's not one-sided Christianity. It's God working with us, but we got to do some work. Not talking about salvation. No, you have to just receive salvation. But there are things we have to do that, you know, running a ministry is work. They didn't tell me that. It's hard work. They didn't tell me that. That wasn't in the memo. The memo said, teach. Start a church and do what I say. Follow me and do what I say. That was what I got for instruction. How many of y'all would take a job? You go in for the interview and they say, just do everything I tell you to do and you follow me. Interview over. How many would accept the job? Put your hands up. I mean, come on. But that's what happens when God speaks to you. But when you know God speaking to you, it puts everything at peace. First thing I started thinking, you know, in my mind, how is this going to work? I don't even talk. How is this going to work? You know, when I said that, he didn't say a thing to me. Silence. God does have a sense of humor, but he's looking for your obedience. He was looking for my obedience. Do you know none of you would have got dressed up and come to this location this morning if I had said no to God 20-some years ago? You'd be somewhere else. Some of you might not have even found the Lord yet. But our lives matter. I want to talk to you about finding your destiny. Finding your purpose. Finding the vision that God has for your life. Do you know he's got a vision for your life? Do you know that it's all good? Do you know that it all will bring you tremendous joy? Every bit of it. There's not one thing in the vision God's got for you, the purpose of the plans that God's got for you, that's going to derail you. There's none of that. Not from God. Do derailments come? They do, but not, it has nothing to do with God. We have to follow him. The Bible says that he leads us into triumph. What if you don't follow him? What do you get? This is pretty basic. You just don't get the victory. You don't get the triumph. We have to follow him. So that's something we have to do, right? We have to follow. We have to listen. My son, give attention to my words. Proverbs chapter 4. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Those are all things you and I have to do. He says, and their life to those who find them. Can we put that up there, Proverbs chapter 4? They're already there, but you have to find them. Are you hearing me? They're already there. Everything you need for life is already there, but you have to find it. You are responsible for you. It's not real deep, but I want to drive this home that you can't just say, I'm waiting on God. There are times when we've asked in faith, and then we will wait. But that's not the same as, I'm just waiting for God to do it. Not when he's already instructed us, according to this verse. Verse 20, please. Yeah, that's a good one. Hear the attention, give attention, incline your ear to my sayings. Now we're at 20. Give attention. Who does that? I do. Incline your ear to my sayings. Who does that? I do that. Next verse, 21. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Again, who are we talking about? You. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're still talking about you. There's four. Next verse. For they what? The word. God's word is life to everybody. It's available for everybody, but it only benefits those who find them. That's why you're here today, because you need help in finding the word of God regarding the top three things you put on your list. Because you got it made once you get God involved in it. He says that his word is health. See, God's word is full of healing power. But is it healing power to those that don't find it? No. He said in Hosea 4:6, my people, these are God's people, set apart for God himself. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the word can't work for you. It can't benefit you. If you never heard that Jesus saves, you'll never get saved. That's why it's so important that you preach with me. Because you see people I don't see. You don't have to wait and pray, oh God, bring them to a church. You are the church. You go to them and love them. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you say and you do what he tells you to do. That's preaching. I didn't say you had to open your Bible and say, now you listen to me. No. Jesus never did that. My goodness, Jesus, he walks up to, there's a woman at the well there. You know, most of you know the story there. They get talking. He was just as gracious as could be. And then he spoke into her life. He says, you know, where's your husband? Well, I don't have a husband. And then he knew. He says, no. The one you're living with isn't your husband. And you've had a bunch of others. But he didn't condemn her, did he? He loved her. He said, if you drink from this water that I give, if you drink, she has to make a decision. You drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. You drink from this water. Bible says that the word is referenced as water, by the washing of the water by the word. When you take the word of God and you let it wash over your mind, instead of letting CNN wash over your mind, instead of letting Facebook wash over your mind, and all the other stuff that's coming against your mind, if you let the word of God wash over your mind, it's going to change your life for good, for the good. God's not going to harm you. Oh my goodness, I might be radical if I do that. Well, that did happen to me. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was a different man. I didn't care what nobody thought of me. It was me and the book. Me and Jesus. And they laughed at me and they, you know, I'm thinking back, they called me Bible boy. I never once in front of those truckers brought my Bible out and tried to read from it. And yet I got nicknamed Bible Boy. Church lady. You'll get a reputation, but you know what? Jesus is my reputation. And I want to live such that I don't disappoint him. I want to live such because I know, living from eternity, I'm coming before Jesus. I'm going to look into the pools of love in his eyes. See, when Holy Spirit hears from the Father and conveys to me to say something, I say, ouch, I don't want to say that. Because people won't like me if I say that. Do you know, by and part, most people don't like correction? But yet part of my job is to correct people. It's like, that's not fun. Hate it. But God says that his word It's for doctrine, it's for reproof, it's for correction, it's for training in all righteousness. The word's good for you. The word is like Superman vitamins to you. Do they have Superman vitamins? If not, we need to invent some and put a scripture on the back of the bottle and we'll sell millions of them. We laugh, but people are making silly things and making lots of money. The church body collectively needs lots of money. We do. We do. Why? Because we're in an earth that they've set up monetary systems. You go to China, you need money. You go to Africa, you need money. You go everywhere. If you want something, you need money. It's just a tool. Shouldn't God's people have more tools? Hey, you got to plug it in though. Find your destiny. Ecclesiastes, turn with me over there. We don't go there that often. It's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. I just want to get you thinking because that's exactly what Suzanne got you doing. Thinking about the junk last year, well, it's behind you. Let it go. Let's look forward. What can you do for Jesus this year that you didn't do last year? What more can you do for his kingdom? Because that's where it comes down to. So in Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, looking at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, God made Lucifer, and he was beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, I want to read it from the Amplified. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, talking about women too. He has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. Interesting that that book had a title of Living from Eternity. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose. Divinely, it means it came from God. It's implanted inside of you, a sense of your purpose. You find out what your purpose is from God. Not from me, not from your spouse, not from your friends, not from Facebook, not from the educators of the colleges. No, you find out from God. Working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. That is why. God created us, and he created us that way. He put your destiny inside of your spirit man. But you have to discover it. It's about discovering your destiny. Everyone in here has a different destiny, has a different purpose, has a different, we could go on and on, a different mission. We all have the same mission in that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are all ministers of reconciliation, which means it's up to every one of us to let those that don't know Jesus know about Jesus. That Jesus has reconciled, that means made things right. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've been made the righteousness of God. You are righteous. If you're born again, you are righteous. It's not something that you attain because of you doing this or doing that or not doing something. It's who you are. It's because of who you are, who you belong to. Jesus made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of him taking your sin on himself, on the cross, taking it into hell and getting rid of it. You've been made righteous. You see, you've got to see yourself righteous and not see yourself as the last mistake you made. Be aware of the last mistake you made. Make it right. Correct it. You might have to forgive somebody. You might have to ask for whatever. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Your destiny, your sense of purpose has been planted inside of you. Coming into 2019, if everything God's implanted in you is good, then why wouldn't we want to take some time to discover it? I want a better year this coming year. I want to discover more of my purpose. I want to discover more of what God has divinely put inside of me called my destiny. But I have to pursue it. I have to pursue Him. It won't come just by coming to church. Although coming to church is something He wants you to do. Why? Because the Word of God, coming to this church, you're going to hear the Word. The Word of God is alive. It's energizing. It's effective. It's going to bring results. How many need results? We all need results. The Word of God is the activator to get the results. It's the Word. So you want the Word. I pray for you that you would desire the Word. I pray that you'd have ears to hear. That means everybody's got ears to hear, but it's a purpose. Do I want to hear? That's what it comes down to. It's an act of your will. I want to know more of the Word of God. That's my desire. That's my will. Nobody can take that away or add to it. That's me. That's my decision. But you've got to decide for you. Are you hungry for more of the goodness of God? He won't give you badness. He won't say all of a sudden, I called you to be a missionary, unless that's really what the calling is. But you know what? You're going to have a sigh of relief if you hear that from Him, because inside of you, you want to accomplish your purpose. You know, work is important. God invented work for us to do. It's like, why couldn't we just all sit on the beach in Tahiti and, you know, surf every now and then and drink a Kool-Aid or whatever? No, He designed us to work because there's fulfillment in work. It does something inside of you. And he has work for you to do for Him. And so we need to discover. We need to discover what that work is. We need to discover what that purpose is. You know, He could give you an instruction, and you know it's God, but it doesn't make any sense. Let me just give you some good godly advice. Throw out what your mind says about it. If you know it's God, just do it. He's got the reason and He's got the understanding behind it. He will reveal that to you when you inquire, but He's looking for you to take that step first. He wants you to, you know, if He calls you and says, son and daughter, I want you to do this. Do you know you actually have to take a step towards doing that? And He doesn't want you to say, well, why, Lord? Well, will you do it? But why? Will you do it? God is asking, will you do it? But I don't know what it is, God. Son, I'm just asking you, will you do it? Hard to do. That's trust. That's trusting the Father. Yes, I will do it. Okay, here's what I want you to do. But it's not, oops. It really isn't, oops, it's thank you. Thank you that I obeyed. Thank you that I obeyed. So God He's put that inside of you. Anybody remember Einstein? I found out he's the one that made this statement. I've said this statement before, but I checked it out, and it was Einstein that said this. He said, doing the same thing over and over but expecting different results is insanity. It was Einstein that said that. I've said it a bunch of times since then. But how often do we want a different 2019, but we're not even inquiring of the Lord, what do you want me to do different? What's my part? See, I'm the major player in my life. You're the major player in your life. It's not God. He didn't set us up as robots and command you. No, he wants you to willingly do things. He wants you to willingly obey him. Jeremiah 29:11. Most of you know that verse. Oh, we know that one. How many of y'all know Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. I want you to know this, that God's been thinking of you today. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go to pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and when you seek him, what happens? You find him. When you search for me with all your heart, that takes diligence. That takes an act of your will. The Amplified says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. I listen to business leaders and, you know, educators, and quite often you'll hear one that says, start from the end of your life and think about where you want it all to end up, and then work backwards. You know, God already knows your tomorrow. He already knows the outcome. He already knows the end of your life. You can seek him, and he'll begin to unveil things that will, it's like putting the puzzle together. Once you get enough pieces together, you can now see what the whole thing is. But how many, you need to understand, he wants your obedience in putting these first pieces when you don't see anything. You don't know how scary and hairy it might be. Look, the earth is occupied, not just by you, but Satan's here. So we shouldn't be surprised at the horror that's going on, you know, with ISIS and all those other names of groups of people that hate. They're doing the work of their father. But you know you have power over every one of them. No need to get fearful. That's what Satan wants you to do. Find out your purpose. Find out his will for your life. And then set out at discovering where it leads you, where it takes you, who he brings into your life. There might be people today in your life that shouldn't be there. They're giving you wrong counsel. You know, sometimes our friends, they're not really friends. You might hang out with them, but if they're not speaking God's word and they're not speaking, the goodness of God into your life, if they're causing you to doubt God, they're not your friends. They're sent by Satan to trip you up, to hinder you, to get you off course, to ultimately destroy you. Thank you. It's not going to happen. But you see, whose choice is that? Yours. You don't let it happen. You submit unto God. You have to resist the devil. God is big enough and powerful enough to just stop him. But he's put that power inside of you. Right back to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's been put inside of you. The power's already been put in there. But he's not going to let you push that plunger of the dynamite power unless you do it right. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1. We're almost done here for today. I'm just kind of encapsulating what Suzanne started. It's her fault. Yes, thank you, Suzanne. I thought, is this going to... I didn't know how far she was going to go. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. Do you realize that He sees you as His inheritance? He sent His Son to die so He could get you. What an exchange. Ephesians 1:11. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny. Saying the same thing we saw over in Ecclesiastes, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always, say always, accomplishes every purpose and plan in His heart. So according to this, God has already accomplished your plan, your destiny. He's already accomplished it all. All we have to do is discover it and walk it out. He's already fulfilled it because He wanted to. He did it for His will and His good pleasure. He accomplished every purpose and plan in His heart. That's powerful. That's powerful. In the third chapter, verse 20, I'm going to close on this. It's where we started, but I'm going to read it from the Passion Version. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed, God will exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you, or it's constantly at work in you. I got to read that again. Because coming into 2019, if I really believe this, then my life should change this year. It should get gooder and gooder and gooder. Now it's three. Gooder and gooder and gooder. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. God will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. See, Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. You shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. You notice it's the part to take that we have in asking, seeking, and knocking. It's His job to do the other parts, bringing them to pass. God will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He'll outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. That's good. I like that. My God is for me. God is for you, not against you. If God be with you, who could be against you? It doesn't matter. If God is for you, He's going to cause you to triumph. He's going to cause you to be more than a conqueror. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. See, we have to get activated. We have to agree with God's word and get it activated in our life. It's not all up to Him. It's up to Him to do His part, but it's up to you to do your part. When you do your part, He is bound by His word to do his part. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. He said, my word goes forth, it won't return void. It'll accomplish that which I desire. It'll prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word. When you send God's word on behalf of you, he's obligated to watch over it to make sure it comes to pass. He said, if you decree and declare a thing, Job 22:28, it shall be established. Who decrees it and declares it? We do. Do you see how we still have things to do every single day? We have, it's not just believing that God will do it. He said, the power's in you, but you've got to activate that power. You've got to put it to use. Come on. That is true. So you've got to find your destiny. You've got to seize the vision. Seize means to take. You've got to take it. It's just like, you know, when you receive your healing, receive means to take. Take your healing. Take your prosperity. Take your peace. Take your joy. Paul reminded them all the time, I have to stir myself up. You have to stir yourself up. Now you can come here and get stirred up, and that's good. But what about Tuesday night in the midnight hour when something's dogging you? You've got to be able to stir yourself up. You've got to be able to open the Bible at midnight, at 3 a.m. And you get to say, God, I want you to speak to me through your word. And he will do that. He will have you open it up to right where you need to read it. He's not playing hard to get. He's already done what he's set out to do, and it's up to us to, you know, the train is all here at the station. You just got to jump on the train. How many are all willing this year to jump on the train, you know? Don't stand there as you watch the train pull away and say, boy, I wish I could have gone to, you know, where the destiny was, but I just didn't jump on. Well, see, you got to get on. You got to get yourself a ticket. You got to get on. God's not going to just levitate you or pick you up and put you on. But sometimes we get the idea that God's just going to do everything. Well, God has done everything. But you have to cooperate with him. Is there anybody that's still confused? Because we'll keep going. before we close, I guess we'll receive the offering. Yay. That should be a yay. That should be an exciting time because it gets you involved. Oh, the cards. Yeah, somehow if you could throw them in the offering bucket, your cards. And I will do exactly what I said. I will pray over them and I will ask the Lord to show me, you know, what revelation needs to come forth in 2019 that maybe I, you know, maybe today's your first day here and you wrote something down and you came at the right time. And you got to write something down that now God's going to put on my heart. Here's the thing. You got to come back. You got to come back. He's not going to show me everybody that wrote everything and say, now you go hunt them down, find out where they live, and you go meet with them and say, God told me to come. He won't do that. He's given you a place here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night so far that you can come and you can hear this word and he can set you free. He can deliver you. He can save you. He can break the chains that the enemy's had on you. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. He's a prison-shaken Savior. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just had a flash of Billy Graham saying that. I don't know why. He's a prison-shaken Savior. Do you need to come down and give your life to the Lord? I love that man. I'm going to talk to him someday. Praise God. I was blessed to be in a couple of his meetings. Just the electricity that was there. That was the anointing. I didn't know it was the anointing back then. I was just, I think I was like 21 years old when I was in his first meeting I was in, down in Manchester in the big stadium. It's like crazy. It just filled up a baseball stadium for this guy talking. But I tell you what, I remember going and inviting somebody to go, and I don't know if they gave their heart to the Lord. They didn't go down, but they heard the word, and they heard it since then. And that was seed that went into them. Billy Graham is still speaking to that person from way back all those years ago. I should say God through Billy Graham, but you'll hear his voice. See, God uses your voice. God will use your voice. You go to work this week, unless you're on vacation. He's on vacation, that's why I said it. What was I saying? When you go to work this week, you'll have an opportunity to be a preacher. And I don't mean being a preacher in the preacher sense, I mean just letting your light shine. Matthew 5:16, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Well, what's the good works when you get to work? Maybe you buy somebody a cup of coffee. Maybe you buy them lunch. Maybe you'll just say a kind word because you've not said kind words before. But you're a preacher. And God needs you. And God wants you. And he's pleased when you open your mouth and speak what he says to speak. Amen.